Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I'm at the Portland Golf Show. I'm at the Expo Center. Doors open till 5 o'clock tonight, broadcasting. I'll broadcast till 6, because that's just how I am. I run through the finish line. So I will be here till 6. And tomorrow morning, doors open at 10 a.m. I will not be here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., but if you're interested in getting a golf club in your hands and swinging a golf club, and there's a lot of fringe things involving golf that are going on here. So there's wineries that are here. There are distilleries that are here. Hood River Distilleries across the way have their setup going on. So if you want to stop by here, obviously there's more going on than golf, but a whole bunch of fun things. I broadcast from this thing every year. It's always fun. We always like to get our next guest on the show as well. And University of Portland men's basketball team is playing good basketball. Shante Leggins is joining us. The Pilots, I was looking at this last night, winners 4 out of 5 games, seem to have caught lightning in a bottle. What's going right for you guys right now?
Our older guys have started playing better, and that's helping us out, and the freshman guys are coming along just fine. So it's put us in some good spots, so, you know, really excited about the way the season's headed.
Give me an idea, because...
finishing, actually.
Give me an idea, because, like... it's got to be really encouraging and affirming for you as a coach when you get a result, right? And when you know, everybody talks about wanting to play good basketball at this point of the year. You are playing good basketball at the right time of the year.
Yeah, we are. I mean, you know, you start the season and we have 11 freshmen and we have a lot of newcomers to our team, a lot of young guys. And, you know, it takes a while for them guys to get rolling. And they started getting rolling at the right time. And so I'm hoping we could, you know, bleed this over into, you know, WCC, you know, tournament play. I think that's the goal for us. You know, we always talk about playing in three seasons, the preseason, regular season, and postseason. And so it's really important that, you know, these guys pick that up. And they've done a really good job. I mean, you got to give them credit. Sometimes we're getting our teeth kicked in at some points, but they stuck together and they've been playing pretty well towards the end of the season.
Last night at Childs Center, 87-67 over Pepperdine. Really good second half. You looked a little sluggish in the first half. Is that senior night stuff, or what's going on in the first half?
Yeah, I think it was, you know. I mean, we have some really good seniors this year. You know, Chris Austin, you know, you look at college basketball, how it is now. Chris Austin was, you know, he's played for us for 4 years. He just scored his 1,000th point as a Pilot. So he's been at the university for 4 years. You know, you got Coleman Lemke, who is not a rotational guy, but he's also been at our program for 4 years. Came there when he was a freshman, and then Fukashin Masic, who, you know, he's been there for 3 years. You know, that seems like it's not a long time, but 3 years, 4 years, that's pretty good in the, you know, today's climate of college basketball. And so, you know, I think they really put their imprint, you know, on the university, not just our program. And so everybody was kind of like, you know, excited, but also sad to see some of these guys leave.
I'll be in Vegas to see the WCC tournament. I'm fascinated by this bracket. And you guys either, you know, depending on what happens Saturday, because you play at San Diego, you know, depending on what happens there, bracket comes out Sunday, you could be 6, you could be 7. Is there a big difference in your mind there, or is it more about you rather go into the tournament on a win playing good basketball?
You'd rather go in the tournament on a win, you know, because if we win and Washington State loses, so all you Washington State fans, I hope you guys lose. But if they lose, we get 6th place. And so
yeah. We
get to play, we'll get to play Saturday. You know, we'll get a double bye. And that's something, you know, that's a big deal, you know, because you get to sit around and watch these other teams play and get prepared for them. But if we win and if Washington State wins, we probably get 8th, and we'll have to play the 8-9 game. So we still have a bye, but it's not a double bye. And so, yeah, getting that 6th seed will be pretty, it'll be pretty big, especially for, you know, how this tournament's set up.
Shante, give us an idea, because a lot of the conference tournaments don't have the double bye. There's not as much emphasis on, you know, the difference between a 4 or 5, a 6, a 7, you know. But in your conference, it does matter. Does the WCC need to look at that, or do you like that it makes the regular season all that more important?
I think to some extent it's good. You know, they call it the Gonzaga bye because, you know, I think that's why they wanted to have it. So now it's the Randy Bennett bye, right?
And
so,
right.
But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I do like it, especially for like the one big conferences. Like our conference, I don't think we need something like that. But like for one big conference that, you know, that they go the whole year and they win 26 games and they only get one bid and they lose off a buzzer beater at the end of the year. I think that's kind of tough, not to let your best teams go. But in a situation where we have, like, some really good teams right now at the top, and that's where everyone's trying to get to, is the top. I mean, you got four teams I think are really, really good basketball teams in our league right now. And so, you know, I think those guys should be rewarded. But at the same time, I think we're going to have a multi-bid league this year. So, you know, for those single-bid teams, I think that it would help a little bit, because they worked their tails off all year long to win 28 games and lose on a, you know, buzzer beater in March Madness. That's tough. But, you know, that's sometimes what makes March so much fun, though, also. So you take that little bit out of it with the way we go.
University of Portland men's basketball coach Shante Lagans with us. Pilots, big win last night against Pepperdine at home. You sweep Pepperdine the season series. You go to San Diego on Saturday. You know, I don't want to pencil that in as a W. They are 1-16 in conference play. I'm not trying to jinx you. I'm knocking on wood here, and you know, you should as well. But you have to feel pretty good about, you know, the way that you guys are going. It'll be 5 out of 6 to finish the year if you can pull that off. And then, you know, do you give your guys rest, or how do you approach next week and you know, the potential bracket after you see it come out on Sunday?
Well, yeah, we got to give them rest, but we're going to figure out who we're playing and, you know, just check the matchups and go from there. You know, we've been down this road a little bit for the last couple of years. We've been able to sit back and see who we're going to play. So that's going to be the part we're going to do. So, yeah, we're going to rest a little bit. I know, you know, we talk about, you know, this, that, and the other, but we've been going all year long. I think our guys have a good understanding of who they're going to play against, and once we figure out the matchups, we'll be fine, because they've done a great job with understanding the scouts. But going into it, like you said, being hot is pretty good. And so that's what you're hoping for. You're trying to catch lightning in the bottle. And I think, you know, we've been doing that as of late.
Shante, the additions of Washington State and Oregon State, how did it change the conference, or how did the conference regular season feel different with those two in it? Was there a difference?
Yeah, it was a difference. It put two good teams in there, right? And so, like, you know, and we also put two Northwest teams that you know, I think is great for our league. You know, I think they are a perfect fit. I know they're going to the Pac-12 in a year or two, but I think it was a good fit. You know, I thought it was good. It made a lot of the games interesting, especially having some talent like Oregon State. You know, Coach Tinkle does a great job with his team. Same with Washington State. And so it made the conference a lot of fun. I mean, you got Oregon State to get Gonzaga at their place, and I'm pretty sure I don't know if that's ever happened before.
Right.
You know, so you get some really good matchups, especially in the Northwest, where, you know, I think basketball is very exciting. They have some really good teams out this way. And you know, I think that made it all worthwhile, while being able to see that live in action, especially for the fans out in this area.
Yeah, St. Mary's wins the regular season conference championship, and that's 2 years in a row for Randy Bennett. Can you maybe speak a little bit, for people who don't know him, haven't watched him, what does Randy Bennett do? What does he do well?
He's a tough, you know, he's a tough dude, man. His teams are tough. He's tough. He does it his way. He doesn't switch it. And he gets guys that fit who he is and his system. And he's been able to, you know, keep that recipe going for about 22 years now. And he's done a really good job with his team. And, you know, they may not be the most talented, but they are the toughest team in our league. And it hurts as a coach to say that about other teams, because you want your team to be tough like that.
Mm-hmm.
But every single year, it's the same thing with his team. It doesn't matter the talent. It doesn't matter who's on that team. If they don't play tough, they don't play for him. And so that's one thing I would take my hat off to him. Every single year, it's the same thing. Like this year, you know, they lose a couple guys, and, you know, it seems like I'm, you know, a fan of his, but you lose a couple guys that are really good. Marshall Onis goes to UConn, and the other kid goes to Iowa State. And they, you know what they do? They just get tougher. And they come in with the chip on their shoulder, and they play against, you know, all the five-star guys, and they just out-tough everybody. And he's done it every year, so it's a good recipe and something that, you know, I'm trying to, you know, put into our program as we keep moving forward. But the retention part for him is also huge. He always gets guys to come back, and, you know, he'd get 5, 6, or 7 guys coming back. That's also a huge deal to keep that culture moving and keep that culture going forward.
Help us out with this, because we were talking in the last segment about gambling and college athletes, and you're starting to see some programs have some problems with kids who, you know, don't understand they shouldn't be wagering on a game, or maybe they do understand and they still do it. How much is that talked about?
Yeah.
Do you, Do you talk with your players about this stuff? Is it a preseason thing? Are you the one messaging that, or is that somebody in the athletic department? Where does that come from?
So, yeah, we you know, our athletic director, Scott Lakem, does a great job of really, you know, giving a lot of information to the coaches. And then, obviously, our compliance officer, you know, runs through it with the guys throughout the year and lets them know that all the consequences and everything they can do, you know. And it's, you know, it's really tough because it's, you hear about it now, and, you know, you, if you hear one guy, you know, if you hear something happening, everybody else wants to look into it. But, you know, I think we do a good job of having the information, you know, put out to us by our athletic department. You know, I think our guys are on top of it. You know, we meet about it. We talk about it. Our compliance guy is always really on top of things. And, you know, we got a new one this year, Eric, and he's been amazing for us. And so, you know, I think just having more information and understanding the consequences, I think, is really huge for us and for our guys. But having a lot of international guys, I don't think that's something we worry about too much.
So the international guys, are they just not as tuned into that, wagering and all that? Is that an American thing?
I think maybe. You know, I know we had a couple guys really into it back home when they watched, because they all watch their sports from back home. You know, I got a lot of guys watching EuroLeague basketball. I have a lot of guys watching, you know, the Australian League Basketball League. So I got a lot of guys watching those at like midnight and 2 in the morning, you know, watching all their friends playing that. But, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, they razz each other and have a little fun. But, you know, I think it's more of guys understanding here that I think you need a, you know, credit card and all this other stuff to get on these online sites and do all this kind of stuff.
Shaunte Liggins, University of Portland men's basketball coach, our guest. They've won, you know, 4 out of 5 here. They're at San Diego tomorrow. And then the bracket will come out on Sunday. Shaunte, help me with this. You know, you've done a good job with this team managing sort of the pace of the end of the season. Is there a science to that, or is it more feel? Can you feel when your guys need a day off or a light practice, or are you talking to them about it? How do you figure that out as a coach?
Well, you got to just keep coaching and keep going. You know, like early in the season, you know, it was tough because we were losing some games that you thought shouldn't be losing. And so there's different ways to coach them, right? So in the beginning of the season, as we're losing, you know, we weren't, you know, getting, you know, the results we wanted. You know, there's times to really, you know, press on these guys and push them really hard. And, you know, as you're losing, you want to make sure it's a little bit looser. And you got to really, you know, pump up the small wins. And, you know, you did something good in practice and really pump them up. As of now, now we're pulling them a little tighter and pushing them a little harder because, you know, we're getting successful with the wins, and that's what we're trying to do. So, you know, as the season goes, you just got to really fill out your team. And early in the season, they didn't need, like, you know, somebody, a drill sergeant, telling them they need to do this, and this. They needed somebody to support them, you know, give them confidence, let them know, hey, you guys are getting better. You know, we're so close. You know, we're right there. And then towards the end of the year, you know, we've been really pushing them pretty hard. And I think that's really helped them out as they've been able to see throughout the season how a season can go up and down. But, you know, we didn't want to kill them early, especially when we were catching some losses to some teams, you know, we thought we were better than. But now as the season's gone along and these guys are starting to figure it out, we've been pretty strict about certain things, and I think that's really helped them out.
One thing I'm curious about at the WCC tournament is all the international players in this conference. And you look around and you see like Oregon State, they've got like 7 languages in the locker room. You guys have got a number of international players. St. Mary's does that, Gonzaga to an extent. You know, you look around this league. Do you think it's more prevalent in the WCC than other leagues? Is this league figured something out that maybe other leagues aren't doing?
Yeah, and I also think the European players have seen something in us too, because when I call and I talk to guys in Europe and Australia and different places, they say the WCC is perfect for international players. That's the first thing they say, you know. And people have had a lot of international players have had a lot of success especially in our league, you know. And you go up and down, you can look through any of our teams, the top teams, especially with St. Mary's with the Australian ties. You have Gonzaga with the Europeans and how they've gotten, you know, Petrovic and all these other guys that come through their program. And, you know, now you see other teams starting to pick up guys from Canada in different spots, and they're starting to really, you know, do well in the league. And so, obviously, you see Marcelonis was the MVP last year, and so it keeps pushing forward. And you know, as we keep going as a league, everybody keeps getting these types of players, which is pretty good, especially the way we like to play, especially in this league. It's an offensive league, and I think that's why Randy wins, because he gets all the tough guys and stops the offense. But But yeah, that's why I think our league's pretty good for international players.
Help me with this, because I was sent to the Dominican Republic to do a story, and I went to some pickup basketball games, and there was 8 guys on the court who were 6'7" and fantastic athletes. The problem is you don't have like a structured school system, and so you don't know if they're 15 or if they're 22, right? And so how do you tap in a place like that? Because you could put me over in the DR and I could just funnel you players all day long, right? But we'd have to probably put them in a community college before they got to you.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, and that's the part that's hard, because you go back into like the early 90s and late, early 2000s, there were guys coming over here that were 24, 25 years old, because there wasn't really any restriction. They just said they were freshmen in college,
Right.
And what's happened now is you get some of those kids, and these high schools are now starting to, like, these prep schools, and some high schools are now starting to house some of these international kids, and they're being able to go to school before they go to college. And so that's helped a little bit of really, fill out who's going to be able to make it and different things like that. Usually it's going to be, like, out of the DR in certain spots, and not just the Dominican Republic, but there's certain spots where academics doesn't really play a big part of it. And so when they get here, that's where they really struggle. That's where those players really struggle, is the academic part of things and how fast everything's moving and their time management piece. And so that's the part that really hurts some international guys as they come. But now you get a couple like our guys coming from Australia, they're really, they've been in, they've been in camps, they've been around, they go to classes, and they do a really good job of really, getting the right players into the right schools. And they've been really locked and loaded since, they were in eighth grade, as they keep moving forward. But there's some of those places where you don't know how old the kid is, and you go watch a kid, and you're like, dang, that's pretty good. And you find out the kid's 23 years old, he just ends up playing with the 17s. So that's kind of sometimes a tough go as we keep pushing forward. But, you just got to, make sure you're aware of those things and understand that can happen, and that's a possibility.
Shantae, good luck to you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at San Diego. University of Portland on a roll here, 4 out of 5. I will see you in Vegas at the WCC tournament. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, and make sure you guys watch our women's team. They're going for a win record and for first place, too. So they play tomorrow, too, at 1 o'clock. If you guys want to tune in, tune into that, that'll be awesome. Let's support them big time.
I love that. Michael Meek in the University of Portland women's basketball team on a roll. Hey, Shantae and I were talking there about, birth certificates and players in the Dominican Republic. And that's when I was sent to the DR. There was a player at Clovis West High School in Fresno, California in 1999 and 2000. His name was Charlie Rodriguez. He was a foreign exchange student. I'm using air quotes. Foreign exchange student from the Dominican Republic who was a high school junior, 17-year-old kid. Roy Williams was at Kansas at the time and offered him a scholarship, and Charlie Rodriguez was going to go to Kansas. And by the way, they won a state championship that year at Clovis West. They were the best high school team in the state of California. And they had Chris Hernandez, who went on to Stanford. He was a point guard. And then they had Charlie Rodriguez, a 6'7" power forward, who was just a phenomenal player. Charlie went home after the season ended and then did not come back from the DR. And so the newspaper I was working at sent me to the Dominican Republic to find him. Go find Charlie Rodriguez. Find out what happened. He's missing. It turned out that Charlie wasn't 17. Charlie was 22. And Charlie was a high school junior, 22 years old, dominating. Now, Roy Williams of Kansas said, okay, not so good if you're 22 and dominating in high school. Charlie never came back. He was afraid he was going to get arrested. The Dominican Republic canceled his visa, canceled his passport. They were looking for him at the airport, and Charlie went into hiding. I found him in Santo Domingo in the DR, a pickup basketball game. I just went to a pickup court, and I said, who knows Charlie, and where does he live, and how can I find him? And the players on the court were like, oh, yeah, we just saw Charlie yesterday. And so it ended up being just this amazing network of talent that was coming out of the Dominican Republic to Artesia High School in California, and also a community college in California. They were funneling the players through. They were forging birth documents, and they were placing these players in high schools and in colleges, and it was a racket. But It just made me shake my head, the whole scene of it. The WCC, good basketball conference, a lot of international players, University of Portland fighting to be a sixth seed in that tournament. I am broadcasting from the Portland Golf Show. I'm at the Expo Center. The doors close at 5 o'clock tonight, reopen tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. I'll tell you more about it next. Stick around.